Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they're not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.'" Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us." "Are you still so dull?" Jesus asked them. "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sue. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks and praise for your word, your living word. We give you thanks that here at Christ Church in St. Andrews, we love to study your word and love to learn from it. And we ask that you would speak to us this morning and that we would leave this place differently than when we arrived. Amen. "You hypocrites, blind leading the blind, are you still so dull? Do you not understand?" I think we can safely say this morning that Jesus isn't happy and feeling a little bit frustrated, angry in these verses this morning. So let's jump straight in and look what's got Jesus at boiling point. Verse 1. "Then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem. When they arrived, they asked Jesus, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat.'" Okay, so firstly, we need to understand that Jesus was in Galilee. And for the Pharisees to come to Jesus from Jerusalem, it was at least a 3 or 4 day hike. The reading says Pharisees, so there was more than one. It was probably a group. They had had word from those following Jesus that they had received a report saying the disciples weren't following tradition. Jesus' disciples were breaking the tradition of the elders. Not God's law, but tradition. Just a tradition. A tradition that had turned into a rule, and a rule that had turned into a law. So firstly, let's look at the power of traditions. The power of tradition. So if you can step back with me to the Old Testament days, This was when God was trying to help and protect and teach his children. Now, the Jewish people were always called to be different. They were the chosen people after all. That's why there had to be separation. Separation in food, separation in dress, separation in customs. They were called to have radical separation, making them spiritual people, observant to God's laws. However, some Jewish people believed that they were superior, and they misunderstood God's plan for separation and holiness. Some Jewish people thought they were superior to the Gentiles, some even superior for non-observant Jews. The Jewish leaders thought God's law wasn't good enough, so they emptied it of all spiritual meaning and purpose. God's law, they thought, was at risk, but by observing tradition, this would protect them. It was described by one commentator, traditional Jewish rules was like placing a fence around God's law and stopped them avoiding getting close to the law. Jewish traditions had added a layer of defence, but the layers somehow got deeper and deeper until people weren't actually sure what the law was. One example of these layers. As an observant Jew, you were forbidden on the Sabbath day to look in the mirror. Why is that, I hear you ask? Thank you for playing. Well, if you looked in the mirror, you might see a grey hair, and you might be tempted to pluck it. Plucking was deemed as reaping, and reaping and sowing were considered work, and work was forbidden on the Sabbath. Layers upon layers of unnecessary protection for not working on the Sabbath. So there were things in God's laws that if you touched a dead body, touched some icky stuff, some bodily fluid, not nice stuff, you needed to wash your hands. Hand washing makes good sense. It's a good law. How many times sitting down to eat did my mum say, "Darren, have you washed your hands?" And I would say, "Well, yes, of course." She would say, "Show me." "Ah, go and do them again," she would say. To be honest, there are good hygiene practices in God's law, and the need to be clean to receive spiritual cleansing. Washing your hands before you eat was a good thing. Ask any mum. But this was then changed. The Jewish tradition meant that you had to wash your hands after every course. But not just washing them, you needed to wash them in a specific way. If this washing wasn't observed, you were deemed unclean. If you ate certain meats, you were unclean. If you touched a Gentile, you were deemed unclean. Even worse than that, if you touched anything that a Gentile had owned or previously touched, you were deemed unclean. Layers upon layers upon layers. But in the Old Testament, to be unclean meant that you were unholy and that you were unable to go into the temple. And you needed to be clean. God says, if you come before me, you need to be clean. Now, thankfully, we have our Saviour. We are unholy, but we are made holy as Jesus Christ, our Saviour, who died for us on the cross for our sins, cleansing us so that when we approach God, we are clean. So in fairness, washing was important, an important thing to be clean before God. So the religious leaders thought that they would help. They would add a little bit. Not just washing the hands, but performing it in this hand-washing ritual. Religious leaders would add these rules. To wash your hands, the water had to come over your hands and down to the elbows. And then again, the water had to run from your elbows down and off of your fingertips. soon it wasn't about washing, but it was about the way that you washed. If you didn't wash them correctly, as your mum would say, go and do them again. Traditions that became laws that actually no one was sure about. When asked, how did this tradition start? We've always done it like that. Traditions and traditions. So, with all this talk of tradition, like me, I wonder if you ended up at this place with this guy. Young Topo. Excellent. The story of Tevhed, the dairyman, famously played by the great Topo. The fiddler on the roof. I don't know if you've seen it. The reading today led me to it a little while ago, and I sat and watched it whilst doing some research on the struggle of Jewish traditions. It's about 14 hours long, the film, but it'll seem like it anyway. But it was a good film. A good film. Tevhed, the poor Jewish dairyman with five daughters, and he explains that the traditions of the Jews were made their lives as precarious as a perch as a fiddler on the roof, spending their days worried about following tradition or not following tradition. In the film, he says, I always keep my head covered. I always wear my prayer shawl. And this shows my devotion to God. But then he looks at the camera and says, how did this tradition start? I don't know. It's tradition. He has a daughter who doesn't want to follow the traditional arranged marriage. And she's already chosen her husband, a young tailor. The father forbids it and cries, we must follow tradition. And she says, Papa, is tradition more important than your daughter's happiness? In a huff, he walks away. The power of tradition. Secondly, if you want to go back, Alan. Secondly, empty religion. If you find you're walking in the ways of traditions, you are not following God's scripture. And this is empty religion. To the question posed to Jesus, why do your disciples break tradition of the elders? Why don't they wash their hands before they eat? Jesus replies, not the way that the Pharisees expected. In verse 3, why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honour your mother and father. And anyone who curses their mother and father will be put to death. I don't know if you notice that the Jewish leaders ask the question, why do you break the tradition of the elders? Jesus is not even going to answer the question or even give it its due. You're worried about man's traditions when you break God's commandment yourself. Jesus quotes the Old Testament law to the religious leaders. When they've seen that the Jewish leaders are very serious, I mean, they've travelled all the way from Jerusalem to ask their question, travelling many days, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Jesus comes straight back at them. You question these men, look at yourself. Honour your mother and father, God's law, Exodus 20. And again in Deuteronomy 5. Anyone who curses their mother and father will be put to death. God's law, Exodus 21. So why has Jesus gone here? To understand this again, we need to go back again, looking at the twists and turns of God's laws and rules. God's law versus tradition and rules. So you may have had to look after an elderly parent. Some of us have done that, and some of us are still doing that. It's a way that we honour our parents. It's the same then as it is now. It can be trying, it can be rewarding, and it can be also a chance to reconnect. But it's a good thing it's God's law. And God's law, it's God's law because it's important. Honour your mother and father. However, some people, they weren't too keen on doing this. So they asked the religious leaders to find a way out, a loophole, if you like. What the people didn't want is to support their mother and father. So they would say that they were going to honour the Lord with their possessions and money. Corban, as it was called, devoted to God. Help my mother and father. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to honour the Lord. Sounds great, doesn't it? I'm going to honour the Lord with my possessions. So bizarrely, I read that there is actually a formal ceremony. It was a formal ceremony for this that was performed in front of everyone, including the parents, where you would say that your possessions would be devoted to God. This is without doubt motivated by greed and selfishness. I can't honour my mother and father because I'm honouring God, which means I don't want to give any of my money to my parents. Oh, I've worked hard for it. Bizarrely enough, there was also a ceremony to use the money that you said you'd honour God with to use it for something else. But Jesus continues, verse 5. But what you say, if anyone declares that they might have been used to help their mother and father, is devoted to God, they are not to honour their mother and father. It's the tradition that you've nullified the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Verse 7. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. Those people honour me with their lips. These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, and their teachings are merely human rules. The thing that they confront Jesus with is nothing to do with God's law. Jesus is confronted by an empty religion, confronted by hypocrisy, confronted by greed, and confronted by selfishness. What a bunch of guys they were. You hypocrites. So the power of tradition, an empty religion, and now matters of the heart. The Pharisees, the head is engaged, the mouth is engaged, but the heart is not. The challenge for the Pharisees and perhaps us this morning, does keeping traditions keep us from obeying God? Does it undermine the word of God? The Pharisees thought, okay, if I say the right things, if I observe the right rituals, if I observe the right washings, if I observe the right sacrifice, everything will be okay. We might think, I come to church, I read my Bible, I give money to the poor and give money to the church. God will like me and he will forgive me. But these are head things, not heart things. Our traditions undermining the word of God. Does your traditions keep you from obeying God? But what aches is the realization that it's not about works. It's about the heart. To give your heart to Jesus. Now Jesus turns to the crowd to explain what the Pharisees originally asked. But he's not going to answer them directly, as he doesn't want to give them the time. So he addresses the crowd. Listen and understand, he says. What goes into somebody's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth is that what defiles them. Jesus says, all this hand washing stuff is rubbish. These traditions are keeping you away from God. You should be more concerned with what comes out of your mouth. Sadly, the religious leaders thought that outside meant more than inside. And they went to great lengths to be seen to observe rituals and traditions. Verse 12. Then the disciples came to him and asked, which is fantastic, do you know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Perhaps it wasn't his intention, but so what? Verse 13, he replied to them, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. The blind leading the blind, both will fall into the pit. Then Peter says, don't you just love him? Explain this parable to us. Jesus isn't happy. Are you still so dull? Jesus said. Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come from a person's mouth comes from their heart, and these defile them. You can eat rubbish, but it will just make you ill. You can't pollute your spirit by eating the wrong things or not washing your hands. It's the heart that pollutes and defiles you. And this is the war that rages in all of us between what God wants and what the heart demands. A saying we often use is, say what's on your heart. If our heart was a newspaper that we could purchase and read, what would be your heart headlines? Jesus helps us this morning and lists some of them. Verse 19. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defiles a person. Eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. The matters of the heart. And it's the heart that matters. Jesus tells us that out of the heart come evil thoughts. So it's what we choose to fill our hearts with. Our heart may not feel empty, but our heart is filled with the wrong things. We may find ourselves filling our heart with stuff of the world or what the world wants us to fill our hearts with. Perhaps filling it with the wrong stuff. A need for success, a need for money, a need for unnecessary addictions. Or as Jesus found the Pharisees, their hearts filled with hypocrisy, greed, and selfishness. The heart matters. So when we come to God, we are not coming with empty hearts. We're coming to Him with stuff that the world has filled it with and stuff that distracts us, meaning we're not able to focus fully on the things of God. Thankfully, though, God has given us free will. And with that free will, every sin is preceded with a choice. Do we choose not to honour God, or do we choose to honour God? So as I close this week, let's make choices that honour God, focusing on filling our empty heart, embracing the Spirit, and allowing ourselves to grow, allowing ourselves to make conscious decisions to choose to honour God, choosing to honour Jesus in everything we do and everything we say. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we ask that you would help us make good choices, choices of the heart, that when it really matters, that we would choose to honour you in all we say and do. Amen. Amen. Amen.